Welcome to For the Love of Dogs with Janice Wolf.
And welcome to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. We've got such a cool show today. We are going to have two guests later on in our From Shelter Dog to Service Dog set. What's so exciting about that is we have, I won't tell you too much, but one person's name is Ben, and he's a pretty incredible young man. I met when I was with my friend Temple Grandin at a conference in Philadelphia, and I met this young man. We're going to be hearing from him in a little bit, and another father who is a father of an autistic son who's pretty inspirational. We're going to talk with them in a bit. But first, what are we going to do? We're going to talk dog. So what's going on now? Hey, guess what? I have to start warning you guys again. We're starting to get some heat. We're in May, and we've got 80-degree days and 70-degree days. Please remember, bring plenty of fresh water for your dog. Do not leave your dog in a car. Do not leave your toddler in a car, okay? But well, especially what's important, a lot of people in the hot weather will leave a jug, like a gallon of water in the car, and they use that same gallon. And if it's in the sun or it's in the heat, it can actually grow a lot of bacteria, and it can grow all kinds of kind of gross things that you can actually be getting your dog sick. Plus, there's been so much rain, especially here in the Northeast and around a lot of the country. And what can also happen is there are things like, things that are in like Giardia and different things that are protozoal and bacteria that are around. And especially if you're, vaccinating your dog, there aren't vaccinations for that, but there are for something called leptospirosis. We're starting to see a lot of lepto dogs. That's a tough vaccination for a very young puppy, and I wouldn't give that in conjunction with other vaccinations. Check with your veterinarian, please. But that is a vaccination that we're starting to look at and say, wow, the benefits do outweigh the risks right now, because there are a lot of dogs starting to get leptospirosis, and because it's been such a very warm year and an incredibly warm winter, especially in the Northeast, we're also seeing kind of cool things. Like I've got I think 13 or 14 deer. We just had two more little baby deers, little fawns. They're so cute. But you'll see multiples. You'll see two, even three baby deer instead of one. That tells us that the year is going to be a good harvest. Nature knows this stuff. So if you have a really tough year, tough winter, you usually don't have as many multiple births, or you'll have like instead of two, there'll be three. Instead of three, there'll be four. So that's telling us that this is going to be a year of plenty, which also means please be careful with your animals. Make sure that they're not going to be left unprotected, especially if you have a dog who isn't treated for things like, ticks and fleas. There are a lot of great natural sprays. We're going to actually go into that in the next couple of weeks. We're going to talk about how to protect your animals against different things, and you can do it naturally too. But, you do have to make sure that you're keeping an eye on what's relevant, and even checking with your veterinarian to see what diseases you might actually want to vaccinate your dog against. I've never been a big fan of leptospirosis vaccinations, but you know what? This year, and especially where my house is, it's, our ranch is got a lot of land, a lot of space, and our new facility in New Jersey here also has a lot of land. It's 5 acres, and there's 320-something different types of wildlife. And there's also probably a few thousand different kinds of bugs and different kinds of bacteria. And we've got this COVID. Well, your dog can get things because he walks around. And I'm not talking about COVID, but your dog can get different bacteria and protozoal organisms on him or her, walk around, bring it into your house, or lick their feet, or drink a little water, eat a rock that a dog, that a bird might have defecated on, and voila, you have Giardia. So if your dog has any symptoms that are abnormal, if your dog isn't drinking enough, make sure you give them something, even like a bone broth or chicken broth or beef broth. Again, check with your veterinarian. But those things will make sure your dog keeps hydrated. So if your dog tends not to drink a lot in this weather when it starts getting hot, he can get dehydrated. And if he starts either vomiting or having diarrhea, I would run your dog over to the emergency room pretty quickly, because there is so much Giardia and there are so many different things that are cropping up now that we haven't seen in the past because of this incredibly warm winter. And it's also been a really wet and kind of stinky spring. It's great if you're planting, because I haven't had to water my tomato plants or any of my plants yet this year because we've had so much rain. But remember, get rid of standing water around your house. Make sure that when you take your dog out after heavy rain, if there are any buckets or anything that are collecting water, knock them over. Make sure that you don't have all these different receptacles that might be able to keep water. And then you're not only going to have larvae of all kinds of delightful things like mosquitoes and all, but it's also going to potentially catch bacteria and protozoal organisms, such as like a bird might sit at that area and might actually be drinking, or another animal is drinking, or a raccoon or any kind of animal. And now if the raccoon had or was near any of these other bacterial or protozoal infections, he could potentially deposit that in the water. Your dog drinks the water or licks its paws that this thing just walked around. And now your dog walks in the same place and your dog can get sick. I've seen all too many people, especially last year, this past year that we had was kind of a tough one as well. And I see people, they'll call me up instead of taking the dog to the vet. A lot of my patients, canine behavior patients that contact me at United Canine Professionals, people call me and I get several a week. My dog is vomiting. Okay, how many times did he vomit? Well, just once. Okay, did you try Pepcid AC? Yeah, my vet gave me some. Okay, well, call your vet, maybe try that. But when you get a dog who's vomiting 2, 3, 4, 5 times, and especially if they're acting a little odd, make sure they don't get dehydrated, because that's really important. And also if they have diarrhea or anything, it can be from heat stroke. There's all kinds of things that can cause problems, especially when the dogs are used to the cooler temperatures and then suddenly it's warm temperatures. So there are a lot of different factors. So in this kind of weather and this kind of climate that we're in right now, and it seems to be getting a little warmer sometimes, and sometimes it's a little cooler than we think it's going to be, but we've got warmth coming up. Make sure you keep your dogs hydrated. For goodness sake, if you take your dogs with you, keep your car running, keep the air conditioning on, and crack the windows even though you have the air conditioning on, so that if for some reason you run out of gas and your car starts getting warm and you don't know because you were irresponsible and stayed in somewhere for an hour instead of for 30 seconds like your original intention, at least somebody can put their hand in and open the door, open the car, and so you're not going to have your car smashed and your dog will be okay. But best thing is really leave your dog at home, okay? If you're going to be going for a ride to the bank and you're going through the drive-thru, which is pretty much our only choice now, take your dog with you. That's great. But if you say, hey, I'm going to go into the bank and I've just got a little banking, if you're stuck there for an hour and your dog is in the car, don't be mad if somebody comes up and breaks the window. I have one of my four vehicles is a hybrid, and it's a great vehicle. And the problem is that it will actually be on with the air conditioning on. You can feel the windows are cold. But I've had people come and yell at me because I'm, looking at something. I just get out for a moment and go look at a phone number on a house or something, and, the house for sale. And somebody, oh, your dog's going to die in there. No, it's a hybrid. Feel the window. Oh, okay. Yeah, it's really cold in there. So, it's good anyway. And I do have service dogs, legitimate service dogs. So my dogs also, I leave my doors open because my dogs will protect my vehicle. But my dogs also, if God forbid something happens, they can get out. And I do leave the windows open enough that somebody could also lose a few fingers, but they could actually open the door if need be, or the window, so that the dog would be okay. And I would be happy if somebody broke my window because they thought my dog was in danger and jeopardy because, you know, you just don't know. But we're at that time of the year again. We're going into summer, and, you know, even if it's 60, even high 50s, and the car is in the sun, it can get into the 90s or 100, even when it's like 55, 56, 58 degrees out. So always keep the windows at least a couple of inches open. And if you say, well, my dog's not good, if he sees something is going to go through the window, then you probably need to call me at 855-449-9288 so we can definitely help you with that. So let's go through some things that I'd like you to work on for the next couple of weeks with your dog. We've talked ad nauseum about how many people are starting to have issues. And I've been talking about this since February, and I predicted it was going to happen. And here we are. We're all starting to think like, oh, good, we're going to go back to work soon. I've had a number of clients who've already contacted me and said, I don't know what's going on. My dog was home. You know, I worked for 6 years, and now I'm home for, you know, 3 months. I went to work, my dog tore up my house, or my dog peed all over the house, or my dog, you know, destroyed something, or my dog was panting all day long. I was watching him on the camera. So all of these things are happening because people didn't change what they were doing. You guys all sat around, not that you all sat around, but you sat around, you didn't go out. You didn't even go into the other room and lock the door. You don't have to leave your apartment, especially under quarantine, but you can walk into another part of the apartment so that the dog has to be separate from you. And the dog starts learning about space is respect. Hey, keep away from me. Don't follow me everywhere. Not all the time, but just sometimes. Because separation anxiety is when your dog starts looking at you as a child and the dog thinks, uh-oh, my mommy is gone, and my job is to provide and to protect. And, you know, because of that, you know, we'll have to, you know, I have to take care of her. So imagine if you have a 2 or 3 year old child and you tuck your child in at night and you're all set, you check, and, you know, you lock all your doors and windows, everything's all fine. You know, go watch TV, and you get ready for bed, and you go up and check on your little one. You remember all the windows and doors are locked, and you check on your sweet little angel, and your little angel isn't in her crib. And you would say, oh my gosh, where could she be? And you start looking, and you look, and you look, and you look, and you can't find her. And now you try to get out because you realize that she's not in the house anymore. But all your doors and windows are locked. How are you going to get out to find your little sweetheart? The answer is you're going to scream. You're going to rip up the couch. You're going to try to break a window. You're going to scratch at the door. You're going to be panting. You're going to be screaming, crying, howling, whining. Sound familiar? So your dog with separation anxiety, it's not that the dog is saying, oh, my mommy's not here. Oh, she's out at work. And I want her to pay attention to me. Your dog is having separation anxiety because the dog is looking for you. Like if the dog lost her puppy, she would be howling and whining and panting and pacing. So this is why it's important to continue, especially now when we have this time where we're all home and then we're all not going to be home again, is start going back to how you used to do things where you go out for a little bit. Even if you're in another area of the house, or even if you take a drive in your car and you're not seeing anybody during the pandemic or during quarantine, but just get out of the house, even for a few minutes, get your dog used to the fact that you are not always home every single day. Otherwise, we're going to have problems, and I'm seeing it already. Have everybody listen to some of the prior shows that I've done on separation anxiety since February when this all happened. Some of the other issues that I think are also really important are cleaning products. Everybody is using Lysol and sanitizer and sprays and chemicals and bleach on the floor, on the surfaces, on the dog beds, on everything. You have to remember that these things, if they can kill germs, even if it says they're non-toxic, well, if they're toxic to something, then something is a problem, right? Something is going to be sensitive to those toxins. Now, we all know that animals metabolize things differently than humans do. So if you're using Clorox, even though you're up and standing up, but you use Clorox or any kind of bleach or chemical on your floor, you better wipe it and wash it really well somehow after that with water or something that's going to get the residue off so that your dog isn't tracking around in bleach and then licking its feet. And even though the bleach is dry and they say, oh, yeah, it's safe now, okay, let's give you bleach crystals, because bleach crystals are dry. I use the Clorox bleach crystals. They're actually great, and you don't have to worry about them splashing up. But you get to tell me that because the Clorox bleach crystals are dry, oh, they must not be dangerous anymore. Of course they are. So make sure that you're very careful about what you're using on your carpets. Make sure you're very careful about what you're using on the dog bowls. Make sure you're very, very careful what you're using in your car and on your floors and your windows and even on the kids' hands. Don't let your dog, because people think it's so cute. Oh, look, he likes to lick hand sanitizer. That's great. That's ethyl alcohol. That's not good for them. That's toxic, okay? So don't let your dog lick hand sanitizer off, even if it's, you know, been a little while. Make sure that if you're home, you're cleaning your hands, you're washing your hands with soap and water, and get the soap completely off so you're not winding up. Because guess what soap residue can cause in your dog? Diarrhea and vomiting. It's not something normal that would be in a dog. And dogs metabolize things much differently than do people. So if you're going to allow your dog to walk around on your furniture that you just used Lysol or something on, which, by the way, I love Lysol, if you use Clorox on your floor, if you use hand sanitizer, make sure that you wash it off before your dog is licking it or touching it or walking on it, so that we don't have dogs getting sick. I've seen it already. People, you know, tell me my dog seems to have lost his appetite. Well, because she's soaking the dog's plastic bowl in bleach. I wouldn't be eating out of something with bleach, which brings me to the next thing. Use stainless steel and glass, things that when you wash them and you clean them, things that don't hold the residue. If you're using plastic bowls, a lot of people use those cheap plastic bowls for their dogs. If you do, that's fine. Make sure you're washing them out really, really well with hot, hot, soapy water every time after the dog uses them. Again, food bowls and water bowls. I don't refill my water bowls after the dog licks or drinks from it. I literally take it out of the holder. I wash it with hot, soapy water. I dry it, and then I put my filtered water in it, and I put it back down. In this weather, I've seen people with, like, the most disgusting dog bowls you've ever seen, just caked on crud. And they just put more food in, and they give it to the dog again. Why are you giving your dog something that's got bacteria and all kinds of just gunk on it? I mean, would you want to eat out of something, like, would you eat out of a used toilet bowl? I mean, of course not. But what you're doing when you're not constantly washing the dog bowls, and I would say for water bowls once or twice a day, and for food bowls after each meal, even if you rinse them out with just a little, you know, sponge or a paper towel, but get all the residue off, because bacteria grows crazy fast. We know now with coronavirus, right, with the virus. So even the viruses aren't alive, they can get into your body and they can cause your DNA, like they basically hijack your DNA and they insert their own DNA, and that's how the viruses procreate, because they're not really alive because they can't reproduce. So imagine if you've got bacteria and viruses and all kinds of, like, stuff hanging and living on the dog's food bowl and water bowl, and now your kid goes over and gives the dog a kiss on the nose, which I do to my dogs all the time, and they're very good. But my dogs, like, I literally, my things go in the dishwasher every night, and I wash them, really scrub them well in the morning with hot soapy water, and I even use a little bit of different things like chlorhexidine, which is really cleans them out. And the water bowls, instead of just adding water to it, when your dog drinks, pick up the bowl, at least rinse it, preferably wash it with soap. It'll take you 30 seconds to do it. Dry it and then put your spring water or filtered water in the dog's bowl, and you know your dog isn't getting germs. People say to me, but Janice, dogs eat poop. Dogs drink water outside. Right, they do, and they get sick from it sometimes. Some dogs do, some dogs don't. But you want to be careful, because if your dog is exposed to those things in nature, most of the time things in nature, like if there's food laying around, the birds, the scavengers, the bugs will all eat it, and even the bacteria will eat it. So after a while, it's actually pretty clean. But of course, there's always, you know, disease that can be left there. But here we have food. You have actual food and slobber that dries. So not only is it kind of gross, if you think about it, but bacteria can grow on those surfaces. Protozoa can grow on those surfaces. Parasites can grow. Worms, like worm eggs. If there are worm eggs, let's say your dog, you know, licked the ground and picked up some worm eggs and then eats his dinner, those worm eggs now have a medium to stick to and to grow on. You can actually cause a lot of damage to your dog. So keep everything clean. Another thing for those of you who use fabric, either like gentle leaders or things like that, or if you use harnesses or even, you know, collars, wash your collars. Now, if you have a leather one, use some leather cleaner. Try to keep that clean. And especially if you're using a gentle leader head collar or a harness, because if the dog gets it dirty, it can harbor, again, bacteria. And those bacteria can cause skin infections. It can cause, like, what they call contact dermatitis, where you put the harness on and all of a sudden that the harness that was no problem over the winter is, you know, now all gunky. Throw it in the wash, clean your stuff, and make sure you don't use any harsh chemicals. And if you do, make sure you wash it thoroughly so that you're not going to end up having your dogs potentially being, you know, sick or having skin infections. Another thing, all these wonderful things to watch out for today, folks. Another really important part of this is make sure that you're keeping your dog groomed and clean. I've seen a lot of people lately, actually, who have had problems with dogs because they're not able to go to a groomer. Now, finally, some of the groomers are able to open. But if your dog, if you have hardwood floors or marble floors or any kind of floor that's not really carpeted, the potential is there for that dog to slide a little bit. And what I've seen is people who used to take the dog for grooming every couple of weeks or every month, they're now, these dogs, especially these, you know, poodle mixes and some of these like shaggier dogs, if you don't have your groomer clip the fur and the hair from between the pads of the foot and shorten it, it's kind of like your dog would be walking in gym socks. And if they're walking on a surface that's slippery or smooth, it's very likely that they're going to slip. Well, if they slip, and especially if they're going up or down the stairs, and now they're used to having the pads of their feet, which are a little stickier, and that's what was hitting the steps. But now it's the hair, so it's like literally they're sliding down. And I've actually had two different clients who called me and said, my dog fell down the steps and won't go down the steps or up the steps anymore. But that's because of the grooming. So, you know, there, it is possible for those of you who have a good relationship with your dog and aren't going to have issues other than that, that you can kind of learn how to groom, even if you get a little beard trimmer like you would have if you were a man or if you were a woman who shaves, those little tiny trimmers, you can use those. You just be careful that you're not, you know, nipping any or clipping any of the skin, but you can actually trim away a lot of that hair from between and among the pads of the feet so that your dog then is not going to be slipping as much. And that's a lot of times what happens. So we're really seeing a lot of different issues than we have in the past, and a lot more of those issues because people aren't taking the dogs to the groomer. People aren't going to the veterinarian, so they're not getting the dog's toenails clipped. So some of these dogs haven't had their toenails touched in 3 months or 4 months or whatever. And, you know, you should be getting them used to it. And even if you just have a nail clipper or a little Dremel or a petty paws kind of a thing, make sure that you keep touching the dog's toenails every so often. You don't have to cut them if you're scared, but keep touching them so that when we get past this, the dog doesn't say, oh my gosh, what are you doing? You're touching my feet. You never touch my feet. Try to help along. And the one final thing before we break for our wonderful guest is I want you to think of this time as a good time that you had the opportunity to spend more time with your family. You have an opportunity to spend more time with your dog. You still have time. We're going into a weekend, of course, because it's Friday and that's my show, it's on Fridays. But if you're able to, do me a favor, start taking your dog and take him in the other room and just snuggle him, just for no reason at all. Teach him a trick. Teach him how to do something you didn't think he knew how to do. Play with him. Throw a ball to him. Take him outside if you can. Get a new toy that, like a learning toy or something. And get your dog, you know, kind of used to that. Enjoy that time you have now, that quality time, because you'll have a better relationship with your dog because you're putting in the time now. Don't wait until, because I know what everybody's going to do. Everyone's going to say, oh, well, I have to go back to work. Now I don't have time. And then you're going to wonder why your dog is getting into trouble when he's been used to having you there. So start getting him used to being alone a little bit, not all the time, but just sometimes. Start getting him maybe work on some training, maybe work on the door rule, as you know in my book, happens, SHHH, happens, Dog Behavior 101. If you can get that on Amazon and read that, you'll see a lot of things in there that will be really helpful for you once you go back to work and even for right now, because this way you can understand how a dog thinks. And if you can learn how to think like a dog, you're going to have the relationship I have with my dogs. You are going to have the best dog in the world. And if you have a bad dog, he's going to turn into a good dog. And if you have a good dog, he's going to turn into a great dog. And if you have a great dog, he's going to turn into the best dog you will ever have in your life if you just put in a little time right now. Hey, we all have a lot of time now. And hopefully the summer will bring us a lot of good things, a lot of joy, and we'll be able to enjoy our dogs and our new found freedom, we hope, very, very soon. All right, so we got two great guests, Ben and Jamil, in the next segment. Do not miss it when we come back to you with From Shelter Dog to Service Dog. Stay tuned. And welcome to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. And I have two amazing guests today. We're going to be talking with them, and I think they're going to be very excited to be here, as well as I think you're going to all be so happy to listen to what they have to say. They're pretty incredible guys. That's Ben, and Ben is an awesome young man, and we're very excited to have him. Welcome, Ben.
Thank you, Janice.
The love of dog,
so
and from
excited.
Shelter Dog to Service Dog. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm terrific, and I'm so excited to have you on the show today. We're going to talk with Ben
so
a little
much.
Bit about how he and I met, and a little bit also about how you folks who have special needs kids or who
Absolutely.
Are available, you know, to help us and to help all of us at Merlin's Kids on our mission. What can you do to help out? So, Ben, first thing I'd love to find out, even though I know some of it, is tell me a little bit about yourself and how old you are and how you and I met. And this way we can
Absolutely.
Let the audience know.
So I am 22 years old. 22. and I am on the autism spectrum, and I work for an agency called Access Services in Fort Washington, right outside of Philadelphia, and I was on the Ellen Show, and I met you at a conference last year in Philadelphia. We connected with Temple Grandin, and we literally got to talk about, like, maybe we could do something down the line. Your Raider, I called you, and I was like, hey, how are you? And we became connected.
Awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, and Ben, what did you actually write on the card to remind you who I was?
I wrote on my contact, Janice Wolf, Temple Grandin's friend.
So when Ben called me, I said, gee, that was a really good idea that you wrote that and that you were actually thinking that way. And who knows, a year later, here we are. So, Ben, I think a lot of parents especially worry that when they have a child who's diagnosed with autism, that they're going to be, you know, worried about that child for the rest of their lives. And I think
Absolutely.
The parents really need to see that these kids are amazing. Like, Ben is incredible.
Exactly.
So Ben, tell
exactly.
me a little bit about your parents and what your parents did when you were younger to kind of guide you.
So when I was first diagnosed, Janice, my mom thought I had a hearing issue. So they took me to the doctor and they thought everything was going to be okay. And two, a child should only know 200 words, but I only knew 20. And then a speech therapist at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia taught me how to talk. Her name is Paula Barson, and now today
she did a good job.
There's no off button on me.
That's awesome. So I bet your parents are very proud of you. And I wanted to talk to you about how you fit in with the dogs and what you like.
Absolutely.
Do you like animals? Or how do you connect
aunt has
with
a
animals?
Golden retriever, the dog. His name is Teddy. He's so cute. And he brings in the newspaper in every morning.
Oh, very cute. What happens if you want to use your computer? Does he bring your laptop in?
I wish.
That would be a neat trick, right?
That would be a neat trick. I would love to see that.
So what do you think the connection is with you, with Teddy, and you with other animals? Because they do say, and my friend Temple always says that children with autism and adults with autism seem to connect with animals much better than many neurotypicals, as she calls them. What do you think about that?
When I see service animals in my church, or if I see service animals, like when I see different animals, kids are really more calmed down. And it just makes me think, like, we need more service dogs and more animals out in our community so people can calm down. And if somebody's overwrapped or over hyperventilating or having a sensory issue, they can just pet the dog and be like, oh, wow, I feel more calm now.
Right. Well, what do you think? Because you know that's, when we met, I had, I believe, Savannah with me, and we see with at Merlin's Kids, where I've trained about 1,300 service dogs through 30-something years, we see that very, very strongly that individuals with autism and other disabilities, although I think it's autism is not a disability, I think it's a superpower, but
exactly.
we will call it what people think it is. But
exactly.
people do calm down, and what it does is it also brings people, makes them come out more. They're instead of being
exactly.
locked in their own soul,
exactly.
they're more outward. What do you think about that? Do you find that?
I love that. I think that's 100% true, because if people come out of their shell, they'll be like, oh, I love dogs, or I love cats, or something like that, because they would be like, I really want a dog so I can be more calm. So when I live more independently, I think I want to get a dog because I think it would be great to have more feelings of like how people on the spectrum can help.
Awesome. And you know what, Ben? It'll be my pleasure. When you're ready for your dog, we will get you a Merlin's Kids service dog. How does that sound?
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
So what we're going to talk about a little bit also with our next guest in a few moments is about how parents can get involved and how parents can use even your existing animals to kind of make that connection. A lot of what happens with autism and some disabilities that are similar, where there's like a neurological component where people are kind of laid back or withdrawn a little bit, is that animals don't judge, right? I mean, we think about
exactly.
It, folks. Animals don't judge. Animals don't say, hey, you talk funny, or hey, you don't talk enough, or hey, you're not looking at me. And that's where dogs have, and all kinds of animals have, that unconditional love for people. And that's what we tap into when we train a service dog. We get that bond and that connection. I just did another placement 2 days ago. I've got another one tomorrow. And it fascinates me every time, even though I've done this over 1,000 times, when I see a child who was running around like crazy, and instead he's not wanting to elope and run off, but he all of a sudden wants to stay with the dog, and you can ask them questions and they give you eye contact instead of having to tell them, look at me, look at me, look at me. The dog brings that out of them. Hey, Ben, what do you think about that? When you're around animals, not only does it calm you, but do you have any other feelings that you can say, wow, it makes me feel this way versus when you're just by yourself?
That's a great question. When I'm around animals, like different animals, like I'm around like animals like at a petting zoo or somewhere around like cats or dogs, it just makes me feel more calm, you know? I mean, cats are a little scary, but dogs are more calm because I love pet dogs.
Okay. And so if you had a dog, what would you want that dog to do for you? What kind of skills and tasks would you want a dog to do to help you?
You know what? And it's really true. I've seen a lot of people with therapy dogs and a lot of different stuff. I would love to, like, use them out in the community and do some different stuff, probably help people with different stuff on the spectrum. And I just think it's really cool because I think a lot of more people, I feel like it's kind of like a Google Home for a sense, because Google Home, because I like talking to my Google Home, if I have a dog, I'll be talking to a friend.
Aw, and that is true. Dogs do provide that unconditional love and friendship. And unfortunately, a lot of kids with autism do not have that connection with other people, but you can start building it up, and that's one of the things I do, and Temple and I have worked together with a number of kids who were very introverted, very inward to themselves, and the dog is able to bring that out of them because they also have that conduit or that connection between them and the outside world. The dog brings them out into the world. And that's why we all love dogs. That's why I think every dog, every cat, every chihuahua, every, you know, chia pet, anything that makes you kind of more out there is a good thing. Because we sometimes feel, even people without autism, feel sometimes alone. And having that unconditional friendship is really awesome.
Absolutely.
So, Ben, you're wonderful. Do you want to say anything else before we bring on Jamil?
I just wanted to end with my quote. Having autism is not a bad thing. It doesn't characterize who we are. Everyone is unique and special, just like a rainbow.
Exactly. That's a wonderful, wonderful sentiment. We'll have to print that up and put it on a card, because I think it's a superpower. And people, I always say, well, you know, if I had a child, I don't know why anyone would want a neurotypical child, because they're kind of boring. I want a special one. I don't want a boring one. So you are very special, and you are
Thank you so much.
Gift to this world, and I'm grateful to have you on my show. And we'll definitely have you on again.
You're like my best friend. You could be adopted in our family.
I could use a good family right now, so I think I'll take you up on that. So you stay on.
Your family and to the Ben and Jay show, and now you're family to me, so I just want to say thank you so much for letting me come on. You're the best.
Oh, I think the same of you. You're pretty awesome. So thanks, and hang on. We're going to bring on Jamil, and we're going to talk with him, and he's got a unique situation because he is the father of an amazing, awesome, autistic child. And what I love about it is we see such huge divorce rates and such separation rates, and especially like we have with the COVID epidemic now, or pandemic. that a lot of families are breaking up that have no problems, no issues. But, you know, when you have a family with especially a low to moderate functioning or a child with really heavy duty needs, it's a very trying and taxing thing on a family. And it seems to me that a lot of times it's the men who don't stay. So I just can't tell you how much I respect this amazing man, Jamil, because I brought him on because I want you to hear from his view how fathers can be involved and the connection that his son has with the cat and all kinds of amazing things that you're going to learn that you probably didn't know before. And I learned a lot from talking with Jamil the other day, and I can't wait to hear more. Jamil, welcome to the show. I'm so glad to have you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for having me on the show. I appreciate just being here is a blessing.
Well, I want you to tell everybody about your amazing son and his special relationship with your cat and also with trains.
Oh, man. It's far more than what I can actually fathom. But my son, Shane, he is an amazing 12-year-old, an awesome 12-year-old boy. Loves trains to the very T, the structure of them, the detail of them, their purpose in life enlightens him. It opens up his eyes. But the same thing goes for our pet cat, Callie, which we've had Callie since she was actually a kitten. She just turned 38 about a month ago, and we had a little pet party for Callie. But Callie has really, really opened the eyes and the imagination of my son, Shane. I can speak of countless times where it was very hard and very discouraging for me to have eye contact with Shane. But, you know, with the help through Callie and understanding what Callie is as a cat, but just being a pet in general, actually opened up his eyes to eye contact. Sensory issues that some of our awesome children may experience, such as touch, understanding expressions, things, sounds. Our cat has opened up his eyes and his mind to actually receive that, and that goes even outside the household when he comes in contact with things such as dogs and being out in the woods and noticing birds. So it's a lot of good quality information and growth coming from animals for my son, Shane.
Awesome. I want you to talk about the cat's tail on the train track, because I think that was adorable.
Oh, boy. So being so much into detail, my son, Shane, loves to reincarnate different scenes that he takes in, such as train yards. So if we drive over a bridge and he sees a train yard, immediately go home, he'll reconstruct a train yard. Well, Callie loves to be around Shane. Shane loves to be around Callie. She will actually sit on the train tracks and have her tail wagging back and forth. And he'll be like, oh, Callie, you can't be on the train tracks. You're interrupting the 4501. Get out. And he'll come over and pick her up and gently put her down. But he doesn't want her to leave. He wants her just to observe from an outside point of view.
So would you say that Callie, your cat, we're going to have to call this For the Love of Dog and Cat if we're going to keep up this for the show. Would you say that Callie helps to bring Shane out more of from his inward face to his outward face, where he's able to kind of extrapolate that into other situations? And then maybe because he's comfortable looking at her in the eyes, it makes it easier for him to look at humans in the eye?
Absolutely, absolutely. It's helping with all forms of contact. I think more so is really giving him the confidence to be able to look directly, whether it be a person or a dog, and actually utter a command. Well, in the person, it would be something simple as a salutation, such as hello or hi or goodbye, something like that. So it definitely has.
Awesome. And that's what we do with service animals, and that's where a really well-trained service animal can change kids, because it does give them that liaison or that conduit between, you know, their world and the outside world. And it sounds like, you know, just from what you and I were speaking about the other day, I want you to talk right now. We're going to get off of the topic of dogs and cats and okay. and trains and fish. And we're going to talk about something for fathers out there who have special needs kids, okay? I want this man, Jamil, to be an example for you to follow. And I want him to go through a little bit, and if you can get a little personal about it, with talking about how you had to fight to get, you know, Shane in your life, and give some advice to some of the dads out there who are kind of frustrated and don't know what to do, or don't know how to even start. And also, which to me I think is really important, how to save your marriage, or how to at least have a good relationship when you do split up, so that you can co-parent the child and put the child first. Okay. And you have 3 minutes to do it. I'm kidding.
Yeah. Okay, I got 3 minutes. First off, first and foremost, I just want to say that is never anyone's fault. Understand that autism is a gift, a power. Just like Janice said earlier, it's something that we can't even fathom. All right, that's the first thing. The second point that I want to go with is fathers. You have to understand that in a marriage, your wife, your significant other, is your best friend. This is a roadblock that life gives you. No one promised that life will be simple, so you guys must do it together. I think a lot of times when it comes down to conditions such as this or other medical conditions like cerebral palsy, I can go on, cancer, we tend to start to blame the other person. Maybe they should have, you know, picked up on things a little bit sooner, but it's no one's fault. I've learned early on from Shane's mother and me and her divorce, our divorce, is that we needed time to understand that our child was a blessing to us, not a curse and not a burden. He was here to actually help us grow. And that is the main focus of what I like to do personally by giving advice to fathers. Fathers, you have to step up. You have to speak out. You have to actually sort of give your feelings a chance to actually step out. Forget your ego. Forget your pride. This is your child, so you must step up. A lot of times I see a lot of these advocates, and no disrespect, they are women or they are those with PhD or many different titles. All it takes is a simple voice, and you can do this whether it be in your home or the doctor's office. Just be your child's advocate. Step up for them, because at the end of the day, your child is going to look at you like you are their superhero, and vice versa.
I love it, and it's so true. You are your child's best example. You can. Like I always say, and Ben loves my phrase that I always say to parents, your child can be the next Dr. Temple Grandin or the next room 312, bed 2. It is up to you. And those of you who are co-parenting and are together, you'll see your kids will be, even your neurotypical kids, they will be so much better as adults. And for those of you who have a special needs kid and a neurotypical, those neurotypical children with siblings who have special needs turn out to be doctors. They turn out to be physical therapists. They turn out to be counselors. They go into fields, and they are so much better at it because they understand it on a very primal and base level. And when you can get a father, a guy like Jamil, who, you know, fought for his son and is there in a support role, even though they're divorced, he's still in a big support role. Don't divorce your kids. Work together. I don't care what your misunderstandings, what breaks you up. You have to especially, you know, man up and father up, daddy up, and get out there and advocate for your child. Make sure that you're working together. Think of that person as your best friend, like Jamil said. Don't look at it as blaming it's your genetics. That was on your side. You didn't do this. You didn't do that. We're talking about banding together. It's like this pandemic. We're blaming somebody in Wuhan, China. Well, guess what? If everybody had worn a mask from the beginning, we wouldn't all be have so many people who had it, all right? So there's no blame that doesn't start with you. You can be responsible for fixing things or for allowing them to be broken. And I'm so grateful to have Ben and Jamil on the show. I guarantee I'm going to have them both back on, and who knows what we'll do in the future. But I really was so grateful to speak with Jamil and to Ben.
I love the fact that you guys are just different. You are unique, which is a great quality. I never like boring people. I don't like boring dogs. I'd rather have a dog that's trying to bite me because he's going to be my best loyal friend than having a dog who doesn't care about anything. I like to have people with spunk, and certainly both of you have spunk. And to me, having people like you in this world makes this world so much of a better place. I do want to offer anybody who wants to reach out to Ben or Jamil, you can reach out to us actually at the show. And you can also, of course, reach out to us at Merlin's Kids. Merlin's Kids is our service dog agency. We also advocate, and we do have parent groups and such. So if anybody says, hey, I want to get out there and I want to advocate for autism, or I want to advocate to help people who need help, kids with special needs, adults with special needs, if you have a job opportunity for a special needs adult or older child, please let us know. We will pass it on. You can reach out to us either at 855-449-9288, which is 855-HI-WYATT, or you can also reach out to us at Merlin's Kids by reaching out to us on our website, merlinskids.org. And we are so grateful to have Ben and Jamil here. Unfortunately, we have to go because we've spent an hour with an amazing two men, and I'm excited to have you on again. Thank you all for tuning in this week, and we'll see you next week on For the Love of Dog with Janice Ford.